This is Startups with Erasmus, episode 208. Welcome to Startups with Erasmus, the podcast that helps developers, designers, and entrepreneurs be awesome at launching software products, whether you've built your first product or you're just thinking about it. I'm Mike.
And I'm Brian.
And we're here to share our experiences to help you avoid the same mistakes we've made. Well, Rob is still away on vacation, so I have the pleasure of having Brian Castle on. If you're not familiar with who Brian is, he's the founder of Restaurant Engine. He writes and teaches at kazjam.com, and he's the co-host of the Bootstrapped Web Podcast. How you doing today, Brian?
Doing great, Mike. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
The topic that you wanted to talk about was productized services. And this is a topic that Patrick McKenzie has brought up a couple of times at previous microcomps about how people can essentially move from more of a consulting model into a software model where they're selling software instead of selling their services. But, you know, there's this gap there where you don't necessarily have enough money to be able to just work full time on the product, but you're making so much money from the consulting, you can't necessarily just drop everything and move over to product because then you've got this mismatch between what your cash flow looks like and what your future revenue looks like. So a productized service essentially kind of bridges the gap a little bit where you have this product that you're selling, but it's still a service on the back end. I wanted to have you on and discuss that quite a bit more because I think it's a very interesting way that people can essentially take their products that they're working on that is still essentially in more of a beta format and not necessarily ready for, you know, the open market or they haven't quite figured out exactly how to address the marketing and use that as a mechanism for bringing in revenue while they're still developing those products.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a perfect example of it. What's really exciting to me about productized services is that the number of different directions that you can take and kind of plug it into your business, whether you're just starting out or you're in that transition, like you said, between consulting and moving into a products business, or, you know, what I've even seen as well is if you already have a product, you know, some kind of software product, plugging in a productized service component to that. Another trend that I'm seeing, I've been researching this quite a bit, writing about it, seen it in my own business as well. So really excited about talking about productized services.
There's two different perspectives that I can see here. One of them is from your customer's perspective, and then the other one is from the founder's perspective, the person who's actually putting together the service. So why don't you talk about those two different things and kind of what some of the research you've done has come up with and what some of the different things you've done in these scenarios is.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, this is mostly coming if you're a freelancer and you're used to billing by the hour or working project to project, productized services work a little bit differently. So from your customer's perspective, a productized service offers a specialized done-for-you solution with a compelling value proposition. And it's packaged at a set price and scope. So there's really no negotiation or writing a long proposal or going into these discovery meetings that often happen in consulting work. This is the scope, this is the price. It offers this type of value, buy now. And then, you know, from the founder's perspective, a productized service is one that runs systematically and it continues to produce and grow with or without your direct involvement. And I highlight with or without because, you know, there are so many different types of productized services and we can kind of get into them in a minute, but, you know, whether you want to kind of remain solo and do like a productized consulting or actually grow it, grow your team, focus on systems, you can actually design your productized service to run without you.
I think one of the most interesting pieces of this is the, you know, from the customer's perspective, they're essentially paying you to do a particular job, but you are in some ways decoupling the hours worked from the service itself. So you're no longer billing by the hour, you're billing for the project itself. And in many ways, you already have a good idea of what the billable hours would have looked like anyway, but you want to essentially decouple those things so your price is not tied directly to the number of hours that you're working.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of goes to that idea of value-based pricing, right? So you come up with some compelling value proposition, a very specific service that really benefits one type of customer, and you price it accordingly, and you define the scope of that service accordingly.
The other side is interesting too, because from the founder's perspective, you can start plugging other people in. And as you said, you can essentially scale it. So if you just want to be the person doing the work, then you can do it. But you can also substitute other people in. And there's lots of people who are doing that successfully. So let's talk a little bit about some of the different scenarios where productizing a service might come into the picture. The two that you had talked about before the show were launching a new product and then if you've already launched a product. So let's talk about those a little bit.
You know, productizing, again, it comes into play in so many different types of scenarios. But if you're launching a new product, you're transitioning from consulting into products or transitioning from a full-time job into a product business, you may not have the time or the money to invest into building something really big like a SaaS application, like a complex mobile app or something. So you need to launch to paying customers quickly, and a productized service is a great way to do that. You know, you can pretty much begin productizing a service that you've already been doing as a consultant or something that you've done at your job, package it into, again, one of the a value-added productized service. If you have a product and maybe you're struggling to gain that initial traction, or you just want to find ways to add value to what you're doing. And this really comes from my own experience with Restaurant Engine. It originally launched almost 3 years ago as a SaaS, and technically it still operates as a SaaS, you know, from the monthly and annual billing standpoint. But over the last 3 years, it really has evolved into much more of a productized service as we began adding manual, done-for-you services at every level. So we do web design for restaurants. My team manually onboards every new client, and we manually set up their entire website, input all their content for them. We'll even make ongoing monthly updates to their website for them. All this is done manually, but I've completely removed myself from the process, built loads of systems and processes, and I've delegated all these tasks so that I can remove myself, I can focus on the bigger picture, kind of focus on marketing, and then even take a vacation once in a while.
I think one of the best parts about that is you can take things that you've already been doing for your existing customers and essentially just repackage them.
You know, what we're just beginning to do now in Restaurant Engine is we're beginning to add an optional add-on service, which is we'll actually manage their email newsletter for them. Like we'll create the email newsletter and send it out on their behalf. And this is an optional done-for-you service that we're adding on top of it. And we've been offering that to our existing customers.
So essentially all you're doing is going back to your existing customer base and offering them either services that you've already been doing on kind of a prepackaged basis, or you're coming up with new services that you're offering to them on that package basis. And that way you can substitute anyone in on the back end that you need to based on whatever that service provides for them, or special customizations or something like that that go a little bit beyond what the standard package offers. That gives you the flexibility to do that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've designed the service with certain limitations built in, but then there's also some flexibility there. So we have a platform and framework in place, and we've built in a lot of kind of customization tools that make it fast and easy for us to set up a customer's website. We also have the ability to customize to a certain extent, like we can add custom CSS to a site and make certain tweaks, but there are limits to that, and those limits are put there for a reason, because again, this is a productized focused service. This is not consulting where we can literally just do anything and everything the client dreams up.
So I think that's probably an important piece that we want to dig into a little bit, is what sort of edge cases do you need to identify as places where customers might try to take advantage of what the service is, and how do you essentially protect yourself from those types of things so that it's not a lot of back and forth? How do you go about identifying those types of things in your service offering, and how do you protect yourself?
You know, you can just look at so many others who are doing this productized consulting or productized service. So two that I'll highlight here are Nick DeSabato and Jared Drysdale. Nick DeSabato launched Draft Revise, which is like a monthly A/B testing optimization service. He'll help you kind of increase conversions on a monthly basis. And he very clearly spells out on the landing page for his service, Draft Revise, exactly what's included, exactly what the client can expect, and the type of results that his other clients have seen. So it's really just laid out and setting those expectations right from the start. I mean, before a customer even decides to purchase or decides to get in contact with him, they've basically read through his landing page and seen all the terms. And then the same is true for Jared's site, Landing Page in a Day. You know, again, the landing page just does a really great job of setting those expectations. And of course, his service is what it sounds like. He'll design and build a landing page for you in one day. Even in the title of his service, that basically defines the scope, right? Like he'll start in the morning, work on it throughout the day. He'll write the copy for you. And by the end of the day, it will be launched. And I think it says somewhere on his site, you know, if you need additional revisions, you know, additional tweaks and things that go beyond that day, he's available, clearly an additional cost.
I think those are very interesting examples because they kind of highlight two different sides of the spectrum. One with Draft Revise is you're essentially getting this monthly ongoing service versus the, you know, landing page in a day, which you're essentially hiring somebody for one day of work. But in both cases, I think it's very clear what you're getting at the other end of it. So the value is very, very clearly defined.
You know, Draft Revise has been designed to offer recurring revenue, and that is a fantastic way of building a business, of course. You know, with productized services, you can go in so many different routes. You can go with, like, you know, one-time purchase type of deal, or, you know, the recurring revenue route. And you can even do a combination of those. I think Nick on his Draft Revise service actually offers both. He now offers Revise Express, which is kind of like the one-time audit where he'll give you a clearly defined list of recommendations or tweaks that he would recommend for you to increase conversions on your website. And then clients have the ability to upgrade to the monthly Draft Revise service. And I've seen that again and again in a lot of these productized consulting, what's basically known as like the ladder, where you offer a one-time service and then the option to upgrade to a recurring service.
We've talked a little bit about exactly what a productized service is and, you know, the different places where you might use it, some examples of other people who are using it and how they're using it. What's the first step to productizing a service?
You know, it's really all about focus. So you want to focus on one service and you want to focus on one customer. That usually starts with the service. You know, ideally, you want to pick something that customers have paid you for, have paid you to do if you're coming from consulting. So you can even look at the types of projects that you're doing or that you've been doing and break those down into individual services. So, you know, for example, I come from a background as a freelance web designer, and, you know, I might, to my background, you know, one component is setting up a WordPress site. Another component is designing mockups. The list goes on, but you can kind of pick one of those things to really focus on. And you also want to look for a service that somebody has actually paid you for. And that's really important because that indicates that there is a real pain or problem to be solved. The other aspect of picking one service is you want to look for something that can really produce specific results that can then produce compelling case studies. So you look at something like Nick DeSabato's Draft Revise, and his case studies show actual increase in conversions, you know, with hard numbers. You know, you want to look for those things. And then you also want to focus on choosing one customer to sell your service to. Of course, you'll have a couple variations of the types of clients that you'll work with. You want to be as focused as possible because that makes everything so much easier. You know exactly who your customer is, and you know how to tailor the service to meet their exact needs and help them be extremely successful. And as you go about narrowing down one customer to focus on, there are a few things that you can look for. I mean, number one, you should be looking for businesses with money to spend. From what I've found, all of the productized services that I've researched, they all tend to be B2B services, working with businesses who have a monthly, you know, operating budget to spend. Niche verticals can be easier to reach. I've seen that in my business, Restaurant Engine. So we basically only work with restaurants and food trucks, and that's a very tightly niche vertical. You know, that's one avenue to explore. Or, you know, whatever industry that you're in, maybe find ways to get more specific. And then, you know, you also kind of want to consider the right audience for you. So what type of people do you like to associate yourself with? You know, if you're doing a lot of content marketing or you plan to do content marketing, who could you actually write content? You don't necessarily have to end up writing all the content yourself, but in the early days, you probably will. So you want to keep that in mind. Another thing that I like to think about is what kind of conferences can you see yourself attending? You know, would you go to a conference with this type of audience? So, you know, keep these things in mind as you're narrowing down on that one customer to focus on.
I think one of the things that you said there that's really important for people to understand is that you are looking to productize a service that you've already performed for people and that you've charged them for. And the reason that's so important is because you know that there's already a business there. It's not like you're creating something out of thin air and you're trying to sell it to people and you don't necessarily know if people are going to buy it. If you've already performed it for people and you know that they're willing to pay you for, like, on an hourly basis or a weekly basis for it, it makes it so much easier to essentially define the limits of what that service is going to entail, but also to understand and fully appreciate all of the different things that are going to go into it. So if you've never worked with a customer before and you go to try to sell them on, you know, a particular service, they may very well have questions for you that you have no idea how to answer. So you aren't able to clearly talk about those different points inside of your service offering. So, but if you've done that before, you know the different edge cases that are going to come up. You know the different pain points that people are going to hit and how you're going to deal with them because you've done it before. And I think that being able to clearly and solidly answer all of those questions for people, even before they've asked those questions, is very key to being able to sell some of these productized services.
Yeah, exactly. And what I also like to look for are the types of questions that come up from whether they're new prospects or existing clients. You know, a lot of times you'll hear a lot of the same questions come up again and again. And those are really big indicators of a particular point in the service or a type of service that's kind of the deal breaker. Like if that's not included, then the project is not going to happen. For example, looking back when I was a freelance web designer, it got to the point, you know, around 2011, 2012, where almost every single prospect that I spoke to asked about mobile websites. Like, will the site be mobile optimized? And that just became a deal breaker. So, you know, if I were to productize that service, that would be something that I would think heavily about.
So let's talk about scaling services like this. You know, how would you go about scaling this? I think one of the big things that comes to mind is being able to clearly document not only the resources that you need to go into the project, but also what that output is going to look like.
Yeah, and you know, I just want to, because I hear this question a lot, is can a productized service actually scale? Because we are talking heavily about manual processes, doing things manually, done for you services. So how can that actually scale up? And you know, looking back when I started Restaurant Engine, my dream was to build something that literally runs on its own. Over time, we've added more and more manual services, but at the same time, I've been able to remove myself. So my answer to that question is yes, you can scale up a productized service, and the key is to focus on systems and systemizing every process. What I've broken down here is a three-step process to systemizing so that you can get to that point where you can actually begin to hire and delegate those tasks and remove yourself from the business. And what this really is all about is working on your business and not in your business. So if you're used to kind of pushing pixels in Photoshop or coding, you kind of want to remove yourself and focus on a higher level, the systems and process. Here are the three steps to systemization. It starts with standardizing. So you want to focus on one particular service, like I said before, and really you want to focus down on one method or way of doing things, or choose not to do everything. As a consultant, we often do everything, but in a productized service, we want to standardize and focus in on one service. There are always multiple ways of achieving the same result, right? But we want to focus in on one method and commit to one way of doing things, and that just makes things more standardized and predictable.
I think that's a very important point to make, just because you're right. When you're doing a consulting engagement, you get in there and your job is to just get things done, because you don't necessarily fall under the same constraints that everybody else does who works at an organization. But I think that when you're doing a standardized service like this, it's very important to not get involved in some of these quagmires, because there are some tasks that you can perform that are just going to be an absolute nightmare. There's no way that you're ever going to be able to come up with like a one-size-fits-all thing for everybody. And for example, reporting. Reporting is a big thing. Some people like to have lots of reports and all these different formats. And I think that if you standardize and just saying, okay, our reports are going to be in Excel and this is what you get. And if you want customization beyond that, we can talk about it. But what comes with this particular offering is just, you know, these are the Excel reports and these are the fields that you can expect to see. I think that's a much more appropriate way to handle something like that, because reporting could become just one of those huge quagmires.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, just, you know, coming up with that one standard way of doing things, it really comes back to setting those expectations up front. And that begins with your website, your landing page, and then the way that you speak about the service. It has that predefined scope. That's what it is.
So what's the second step to systemizing it?
Yeah, so once you've standardized and made things more predictable, the next step is to look for ways to streamline the processes and make them more efficient. So that might mean, again, adding new limitations, like saying, for instance, I mentioned, you know, we're adding email marketing to Restaurant Engine, where we'll be managing email campaigns for our clients. One limitation that we're adding to that is they have to be on MailChimp, our clients, you know, we want them to be using MailChimp, number one, because it's cheap for a restaurant owner to get started on, and number two, it makes it easy for us to set one process that my team can then follow. They don't have to learn how to use AWeber and Constant Contact and iContact. We're sticking only with MailChimp. So we're setting a limitation there. Another idea here is to use, you know, one common framework or template. I mentioned Jared Drysdale, his landing page in a day. He's a great example of someone who actually started with software and converted it into a productized service. A few months back, he created a design framework called Cascade.io, which is kind of a product in itself, but now he's using that product to streamline his landing page in a day service. So essentially he's using his design framework to speed up his process of designing a landing page for clients.
And I think that's a great example of taking software that you are using and working on to be able to complement your productized service, especially to help that product make money in a way that may not necessarily be obvious. I mean, I think most people, when they do that, their goal is to write a piece of software and then be able to sell it to everybody they possibly can. That's the way that they're going to scale it. But at the same time, when you first release your software, it's not necessarily finished. It's not in a format that is going to be easy for the mainstream masses to be able to use. So if you convert that and say, okay, well, I'm going to create this product and maybe it's not quite there, but I can live with the limitations and I know what those limitations are because I wrote the software, then you can essentially use it in a services fashion to help complement your skills and the ability to get things done that without that software, you wouldn't be able to do anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And having that software built in the first place, you can use that to your advantage when you're performing that service. It just drastically speeds up in the process and makes it more efficient. You know, I found that in my service as well. With Restaurant Engine, in the very beginning, we built in all these fancy customization tools. We wanted it to be a do-it-yourself service. Any restaurant owner can come in and create their own website. But what ended up happening is, you know, today it's a productized service. We're using those same features, but we're using them internally. And now we're able to set up a new website, you know, in just a matter of 1 or 2 days.
In some ways, this reminds me of the idea, which was essentially concierge onboarding, which is the idea that you are having people come and sign up for your product, but at the same time, you're essentially hand-holding them. You're doing things for them that you would like for them to do themselves so that you don't have to do it, but at the same time, it's more important to get them onto the software and using it than it is to make it easy for them to do it themselves. I mean, that's not necessarily your goal. Your goal is to make them a long-term customer, and if you have to do those things up front to help get them over the hurdle, then you will.
That's a great point. I know that there are a lot of people interested in doing SaaS products and SaaS owners out there today. So in the beginning, it was a concierge service, right? Like we were kind of adding the done-for-you setup complimentary, you know, for free just to get you onto the service. And that worked pretty well. But then we actually started charging for it. And today we actually require every customer to pay for the initial setup service. What we found is that when we do that, yes, the rate of signups obviously goes down. You know, we're asking for an upfront fee and enter your credit card and everything. But we found that those customers who do that and go through our setup service, they stay. The cancellation rate goes to near zero at that point. So we found that's a good balance for us.
Dharmesh Shah of HubSpot had talked about this at the Business Software Conference a few years ago because their service has, there's a couple of different tiers. I think their lowest tier is $200 a month, and then their next tier up is $800 a month. And then above that, I think it's $2,000 or $3,000 a month. At the lowest tier even, you have to pay for what they call a training session. And that's $500. And the second tier, it's a $2,000 fee that you have to pay just to get set up. In some ways, a consulting services engagement where they're teaching you how to use the software. You know, people get this idea, oh, well, I've already paid $2,000 to get set up on this. I really should be using it. Because if they make that mental leap to say, okay, I'm going to plunk down and pay $2,000 for my first month and then $800 a month after it, you need to just kind of move forward and do it.
Yes, exactly. And we have seen that. And we see customers who have paid the setup fee. You know, customers are much more engaged. They're invested in the process. They're willing to go through the onboarding steps, like providing their content or get, you know, doing whatever they need to get going and start being successful on the service much faster. So the third step as we get into systemizing our service is all about documentation. It's really all about your documentation. Now, it is incredibly important to focus on standardizing and streamlining first. But then as you begin to prepare to potentially hire and delegate these tasks, you want to have your documentation in place. And what this really means is, as the founder, you know, you're still doing everything yourself in the early days, but you want to be spending and investing a lot of your time early on in writing out, you know, detailed step-by-step procedures. And that can often mean spending up to 3 times longer on a particular task. So, you know, what I see a lot of people running into who have trouble with delegating tasks to a team, they'd say, I'd love to delegate this task to someone, but you know what, if I just do it myself, I can get it done so much quicker. And you kind of have to break out of that way of thinking and work on your business and invest that time up front. Yes, you're doing it yourself, but spend even more time writing out that detailed procedure so that ultimately you can delegate this and never have to touch that task again. Yes, it can be tedious and it will take a lot of time, but you should just start simple. Start with just a really quick and dirty bullet list, step-by-step framework of what you're working on, and then you can just continuously improve that over time.
I think that's a general purpose skill that every entrepreneur needs to have, is to be able to document the processes and procedures and how the business is run, just purely from a logistics standpoint, to be able to step back from certain parts of the business or to be able to hand them off. I've actually been in the position where there are certain parts of the business where I'm handing off to other people and saying, I need you to standardize and streamline and document this entire process so that I don't have to.
And that's where it has come in my business as well. I mean, literally just before we got on this call today, I wrote out a quick email to one of my teammates and said, can you turn this email into a procedure? We actually have like a procedure for creating procedures. You know, we have like a standard template in Google Docs, and then they just kind of duplicate that, and it has all the formatting and everything, and then he'll just kind of convert that into a procedure. And then another thing that I see done quite often is doing a video screencast of a task and then handing that off to your virtual assistant or someone on your team. What I like to use video for is to document my process once, show that to my teammate, and then ask them to convert that into a written procedure.
What I've done is for documentation, I have a standard operating document in Google Docs, and it's like whenever I bring in a new person into my team, I just share the entire folder with them, so they have this whole folder structure of documents that they have access to. But inside of those, I will have, you know, I have like one main Google Doc, and then it links off to all these other ones that are in the different subfolders. And then in some of them, so for example, one of them is a procedure for dealing with Twitter. There's specific documentation in there that's written out about what to do in certain times and certain things that come up. But then I also have places where there's a video that I just link to directly from there. And then I have the username and password that's stored directly in there. So I host everything out on screencast.com. And it just makes it easy, because if I ever need to change the password, I can just go into the Google Doc, change it. If they need access to it, they just go in there and it's right there. And they can not only see the written documentation, but there are some places where it's a lot easier to show somebody than it is to write it out. And so I use kind of a hybrid of that mechanism.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I think I do a pretty similar thing. You know, I give my team access to our folder in Google Docs. I do like to include both the visual and the written descriptions. So, you know, we also use a lot of screenshots and we notate the screenshots. For that, I use Dropler. I'll grab those screenshots, put the notations in, drop it into the Google Doc. In addition to that, I'll actually describe the steps.
Let's kind of move on a little bit to marketing a productized service. I know that there's a huge amount to talk about in terms of marketing a productized service. What are some of the things that you can think of that people might want to keep, you know, right at the edge of their mind when they're looking to put together a productized service?
Number one, when you productize your service, you can begin to market it as if it's a product, just like any other product. And that's kind of what's so great about a productized service. You can really make use of all the other tactics that we're constantly learning about. I think the most important thing comes down to knowing your customer, really getting to know who that customer is. I spoke earlier about focusing in on one customer, one particular person. Since your productized service is focused on serving that one type of customer, you're able to really research and learn everything that you can about them, because your goal is not just to get lots and lots of any and every type of customer. Your goal is to find that one focused customer and find more of that person. When you really understand who they are, what they do, what their primary pain and challenge is, what are the hurdles that they're trying to get past, you begin to start to see these patterns as you're interviewing customers, talking to them on a daily basis, emailing with them. And when you really get to know them, everything else becomes easier. You know, writing landing pages, communicating your service, coming up with with the perfect pricing or the perfect pitch, the value proposition, even designing the scope of your service. You know, what's included, what's not included, you know, how can we provide the most benefit possible?
Yeah, I think that knowing your customers obviously is a very important piece of this, but you know, it helps you to communicate your message to the customer and make sure that everyone's on the same page. It also helps you if you want to do like SEO or keyword optimization or anything like that, because if you're speaking the same language as them, in many ways, that productized service is not really much different than an actual product. By clearly defining that, it's, you know, again, it's just no different than selling an actual product versus selling a service. It's just you've got everything prepackaged.
It also goes back to speaking with your customers and listening to what they're telling you, whether it's your prospects that you've been speaking to as a consultant, your current and past clients. What are the things that they're asking you? How do they describe their pain point? How do they describe the service or the product? And then you can use their language, literally take it out of their mouths and put it onto your landing page. You know, when you truly understand what their core pain is through those constant discussions with that one type of customer, you know exactly what to lead with when it comes to your top headline or the way that you describe the benefits that your service can offer.
Brian, if people want to find you and learn more about the productizing services crash course that you're offering, where can they find you?
Yeah, so you know, right on my site, castjam.com. On the homepage, you'll find a free crash course on how to productize your service. And then I also have the advanced training course called Productize, and that is at castjam.com/productize. I'm also Castjam on Twitter. You know, love to connect there. And you can always reach me, brian@castjam.com.
Well, Brian, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Mike. It's fun.
If you have a question for us, you can call it into our voicemail number at 1-888-801-9690 or email it to us at questions@startupsforrestofus.com. Our theme music is an excerpt from We're Out of Control by Moot, used under Creative Commons. Subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for Startups and visit startupsforrestofus.com for a full transcript of each episode. Thanks for listening.